أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. On this last day, and we hope that we have all benefited and enjoyed the presence of one another, all believers in this conference, and we have been able to benefit from the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered us with over the course of these few days, with the talks, the prayers, the jama'at, the du'as, the conversations that we've had with one another as believers. And we hope that we're able to take that away with us wherever we go back to, wherever is home that we go back to. And inshallah, we're able to continue the learning and continue practicing what we gain and what we learned in this conference. This topic, I don't think, and I hope you're not expecting any type of faqih explanation regarding any type of faqih matter or faqih principle. The talk that I was asked to give, the topic has to do with, I would say, I would start with two extremes in our communities. One extreme is those of us who don't really give importance to fiqh, don't give importance to the practical instructions of Islam. Those of us who don't really care if we do have rules, if we don't have rules, we don't have much information about it, and we care less about going and finding out and figuring out what rules have been mentioned. And perhaps maybe the thought process we have in our heads is, it doesn't really matter. We're Muslims, we're good, we are doing what our religion has taught us without even going and trying to discover what the religion has taught us. That's one extreme, and inshallah, none of us here are of that type. Then there's another extreme that exists amongst the religious, those who are trying to follow the rules, those who are trying to figure out what the rules are and applying them. And what it becomes is this constant discussion with regards to the same faqih issues, asking things 50 times, and then when it comes to practicing them, then there is this precautionary type of approach which leads to a form of waswas in many instances that I have dealt with, where you know, you have people in tahara and najasa dealing with things in a certain way, washing things 50 times before they can make sure that it is a tahir, or in wudu being extra cautious, looking at their hand, I think there's a little something there, that extra skin there is going to cause this or cause that. And they have doubts constantly with regards to what the rule is. They keep asking, there's waswas in asking questions with regards to the fatawa even. So we have these two extremes, and we want to figure out what the balance is. We want to say something, or we're asked to discuss this matter in a way where we can learn what Islam wants us to do. How are we supposed to go about and deal with ahkam? Are we supposed to be day in and day out, whenever we want to study Islam, just pick up a fiqh book or go to YouTube and find some ahkam session, or spend most of our time with that? Are we supposed to be that particular when it comes to food items? I was being shown an app when I was in Los Angeles, this new app, I forget what the name was, but But you can scan the barcode of whatever product that you have, and it breaks down all the ingredients that are there, and it tells you, we have asked, or we have called this company and asked them, is this alcohol, or is it this? Is it include this, or is it that? And they have responded, or they have not responded, or how many times we called them, and so on and so forth. Is this the type of approach that we're supposed to be having towards religion, those of us who are trying to implement Islam? I want to give a short explanation of, or a holistic understanding, give us a holistic understanding of Islam. Islam, brothers and sisters, is a religion. If you want to break it down when it comes to us, when it's relevant to us, when we're looking at Islam towards us, you can break it down using the verses of the Holy Quran to two major compartments. One has to do with iman, and the other one has to do with amal. And you hear those words repeated in the Holy Quran. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ in Surah Al-Asr and other surahs of the Holy Quran, there's constantly this idea, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. The direction you face in prayer even, that's not righteousness. It's not the behavior itself. It's not the conduct itself. It's not the charity alone that you give. It's not about how much you paid for how many orphans, how many orphanages, how many schools, how many wells in Afghanistan you were able to create, how many jobs you were able to create for how many people in what part of the world. It's not only that. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Even that charity has got to be عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. I'm giving this for the sake of Allah. Righteousness is a combination of iman and amal, right? What does this mean? What are we trying to get to? Islam has got a way of life. You want to translate amal salih, doing righteous deeds. Ihsan, when you look at it holistically, there's a lot of do's and don'ts in the religion that if you apply all of these, whether it's the obligations or the forbiddances, you apply them. You avoid certain things, you do certain other things. Some being wajib, others being mustahab, some being what we call akhlaq, which sometimes I have trouble understanding the distinction between fiqh and akhlaq and some of the terminology that we use, meaning our general Shia public. But anyway, all of that, whatever that means, for another time discussing the difference between the two, if there is any. All of these elements of practice and conduct, the code of practice, if implemented on an individual scale or on a social scale, which both should be there, and we should move in the direction where we're doing it ourselves and we bring this to everybody, we start developing a culture, a way of life from when we go to sleep, when we wake up, how we sleep, how we engage with others, what type of conversations we're going to have, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to having children, behaving towards them or having interactions with them, with one's spouse, with one's parents, with one's children, and so on. Everything, dealing with technology, with learning, with everything. Any dimension of our life when it comes to practice, there are instructions, there are teachings that we have in Islam. And when we implement all of that, we develop an Islamic lifestyle. Okay. This lifestyle with iman is supposed to be leading us in a particular direction, as we have لَنُحْيَنَّهُمْ or لَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. There's a good life that would be awaiting us. There's prosperity, it's success. which is worded in different ways in this material life and in the hereafter. The idea that I'm trying to bring forth is that we've got this way of life that we've got to start living. And these wajibat and muharramat are within that framework. They're not the only thing there. And even the Islamic lifestyle is not the only thing that we have within Islam. What we have is a combination of things, inclusive of that iman, inclusive of the ma'arif, inclusive of our understanding of God, inclusive of our understanding of the Prophet, inclusive of our understanding of the Imams. All of that is equally important. All of that is very important. You learn direction in ma'arif, in when we discuss divinity, when we discuss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we discuss His existence, when we discuss His oneness, when we discuss His attributes, when we discuss why He's created this universe, when we discuss why He's created us, when we discuss why there is a hereafter, why there is eternal punishment, and there is eternal joy for the mu'mineen. That gives us direction, and there's a way of life, what we need to do in order to get there. This is all of Islam, in a nutshell. A comprehensive approach towards the religion. Alright? What this means is that the approach that is taken where we don't consider ahkam to be important. I believe in Islam, I go to the mosque, I do my prayers, I don't know how valid or how accurate it is. I don't think it's important if I know the details of when I'm supposed to pray qasr and when I am not. When I'm praying behind an imam that is praying qasr, if I'm doing four rak'ah, how I do that, if I join the prayer, in which rak'ah, how exactly am I supposed to continue my prayer? It's not important. When it comes to my obligations towards my spouse, it's not important that I know the details. I don't even have a clue of my obligations towards my children. Never studied that. Did we know there are obligations? Did we know there are forbiddances? There are haram things. We're not allowed to just say anything to our children. We're not allowed to raise our voice in just any fashion, in any manner, with regards to our children, with regards to our spouse. We don't even know a lot of that exists. The approach that says, look, I'm Muslim and I'm comfortable with Islam, and we don't follow any of that up, that means we're really not understanding what Islam is. And we're not going to get to the goal that Islam has for us. And on the other side, when we focus too much on some of the elements of our ahkam, constantly going back and forth about whether if this meat that this store is selling is questionable, or it is definitely halal, are they doing it right or wrong, is this restaurant bringing halal meat or not, that being the subject of discussion over and over, and that's what we're focusing on, that means we are overdoing it. Look, we're supposed to get the hang of it. There's a lot of principles there. We got to learn that once and for all, then get to action, get to practice. It should be second nature. It should be second nature. I think one of the reasons why a lot of times these things go back and forth, anytime you see a sheikh, you see a repeated list of questions that come up. How do you do this? How do you do that? What about this nijasa? What about that? What about this ingredients? What about the other? Is gelatin halal or haram? We've heard different things and so on and so forth. Look, we should be over this stuff. I think the reason why we're not is perhaps we haven't dedicated serious time to this. It's like a conversation on the dinner table. It's not a serious conversation. It's not seriously following up with learning those details. It's not asking and demanding if someone's coming in that has the ability to give that knowledge, that we asked them, can you set up sessions for us where we can actually sit down with text, figure this out once and for all, and just get to work, okay? I think that's one of the reasons why this is not happening. We've got to study it. Set some time aside. We have a long list of hadith stressing on the importance of learning that material. Okay. Studying it weekly. Setting some time. On Fridays, the hadith says, on Fridays in this country are not off. You have Saturday and Sunday that are off. Whatever your off days are, dedicate some time to this. Learn it. I had to go through this. I remember us going through this. When we take it seriously, when we realize that there's a lifestyle of Islam, and we're trying to get the top priority do's and don'ts, those are the wajibat and muharramat, in order that we start implementing them in our lives, in order that we start moving in the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to move towards, once we get all of that information solidified, through reading it and then practicing it. And then when we have some minor questions, we ask those questions. We should get the hang of it soon, not worry so much. This precautionary approach towards ahkam, to me, it means that we have not understood the Islamic legal system. The precautionary approach that is taken towards ahkam means we want to leave questions as questions. Take precaution here, take precaution there. Shahid Beheshti has this line. He says sometimes these precautions go against precaution. If you look at the big picture, all these precautions actually go against precaution. Because eventually what you're going to be doing is you're going to be going against some of the Islamic teachings. Islam doesn't want you to stagnate on nijasa and tahara and whether this meat is halal or haram, or this ingredient is this or that. Get over it. We have a lot more important things to do. We hope that we're able to develop a thorough understanding of the entire system. We don't deal with learning, whether it's the ahkam or the other elements of faith, in this way that we just have brief conversations here and there. Discussions erupt at a restaurant or when we make a decision to go to a restaurant and we leave it at that. No. We go and study it thoroughly, and we study it with a comprehensive approach. In other words, we don't focus only on one part of religion, whether that is fiqh, or that is kalam, or that is philosophy, whatever it is. We need to try to develop a holistic understanding of the religion, and only that is going to allow us to move in the right direction. Otherwise, we're going to be overdoing it in one arena, and the other arena, we will be short of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to study the religion and to implement His teachings, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.